Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, November 25th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
How's it going today?
Yeah, we've had some interesting problems with my computers. I've got something going on here that I don't understand. Lost one browser. Thing has got some sort of scripts. Something is happening with scripts. I don't even understand what scripts are. I don't know why this is happening. Yada yada. It gets you talking to yourself. I think computers are designed to improve your communication skills, or at least your ability to cuss.
To yourself.
Well,
within your
maybe not. But...
Is this, I saw there was some sort of test that was done by, you know, one of these think houses and so forth, and it was in reference to the internet, what people thought various language was, and what, you know, like the internet versus the worldwide net was, if people thought it was the same and different, and it's kind of like what you just said, you know, you have terms that you don't know what the heck is going on, and
it just
reminded me of that, and you know, it's true, we use the items, we learn how to use it, but we fail to truly
understand.
Hope,
keep working, please keep working, because I don't know what to do. I mean,
I still think TV is fascinating. I can't figure out. How do we get all these pictures on that screen? Yeah. Radio. Voices coming out of a little box, you know. Faxes. You know, information going from, you know, one place to around the world. And so.
Yeah, it's interesting. I can remember as a kid, a friend of mine, Rick Christensen up in Illinois, his grandmother was like 80 years old, and this would be back in the 1960s. So she was born in the 1800s. And she, born in the 1800s. And she said she stopped paying attention to technology when they came out with radio. That was the last time it was amazing to her. And after that, she didn't care. If you went on a rocket ship, she just walked right on. She wasn't afraid. She wasn't even particularly interested. But from radio forward, she just enjoyed it. That was her attitude. Wasn't worried about it. Didn't understand it. Didn't care.
I mean, really, when you think about it, just think about telephones. When you think that you could actually, you know, pick up a gadget and talk to someone, you know, 10 states away. It's pretty.
10 states around the world.
Around, well, in the beginning, it was just.
Well, I understand that. Yeah.
And then think about what they had to do. I was seeing I can't remember if I was reading or watching a Discovery program or something. The way how much cable is laid in the oceans to connect everything. I mean, it's you just don't even think about it. You don't have to think about how many cables are used and how they're laid and how do we communicate. Now we think of satellites, but prior to the satellites, there was these huge cables that are laid and through the Atlantic Ocean, connecting Europe, and it's really fascinating. And your tax dollars at work.
I understand.
Your tax dollars and
somebody's
governmental program. Your governmental programs, certainly, I'm sure they were subsidized by governments. So,
The one thing that crosses my mind about telephones, the early telephones were party lines.
Mm-hmm. I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
They were interesting.
Yeah, well, you could listen to your neighbor's conversation, but they could listen to yours. And it just reminds me, today we have the NSA. All right. Back then, we had our neighbors who could listen to our phone calls. Now we have the NSA who can listen to our phone calls.
And
so
both,
there's certain things. I'm just saying, some things they don't exactly change. We still have. We always had our spies. We're going to keep having them for a while longer.
And our neighbors never said anything interesting. Just you never heard anything interesting. Just like the NSA never.
I understand that. That's the thing with the NSA. If they want to spy on my phone calls,
that's not the way you need to think. No. It's wrong. Even though we don't do anything or say anything wrong, that's not right. You can't. That's how they get to where they get. That's how they accomplish.
Because we just
accept that. Hey, I'm not doing anything wrong, so let them, and they do. And it's
what I mean. I don't mind. If they want to spy on me, it's not going to confuse me. I don't like it.
They're not suppressed.
And it doesn't really bother me.
It doesn't bother me either.
I don't have anything to say most of the time anyway. I mean, and nobody has anything to say to me. We're just shooting the breeze on the phone. And all I think is some poor sap. It's like saying the word detonator. If you get on the telephone and they have the computers that will pick up whatever words you're using, if you were going to say detonator and Ebola and whatever, there's probably alarm bells going off in Langley, Virginia right now. And they go, whoop, 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 whoop. Somebody said detonator. Now someone actually go down and listen to the phone call.
And when I
was actually said, you poor SOB. You got to listen to my phone calls. My gosh.
And what I say out to them every morning, good morning, boys. How's your day? Gold, what kind of day Gold had? It was, it's Thanksgiving day weekend. But we did manage right now. And the news currently at 12:01:10. Silver up 20 at 16.77. Platinum was up 21 at 12.20.
You're going in and out. Your sound is gone. It's dropping out every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why.
You sure that's not your hearing?
Nope. It's up.
Well, we'll need to
see any problems on my computer right now.
Well, you do sound kind of funny, but.
Yeah, well, that's just my sense of humor.
No, you do. Your audio is not clear. It's on, and perhaps if Frank is listening, he can determine who is off and who is not. But I will continue with the market price. You have the USD3.
Frank was going to try to.
Excuse me?
Okay, Frank was going to say something, and then he says we've got Eduardo is calling from Texas. Eduardo's going to have to wait a second. But Frank, can you tell us whether is my sound wrong, is Melody's sound wrong, or is it just all in our heads?
Well, let me continue with the market report.
Okay.
So you have the USDX down 0.23 at 87.89. And we have crude oil down $1.86 at $73.92. Big hit on oil today. And I know we're going to be discussing that here in a little bit. And I guess we do need to reconnect.
I'm going to reconnect right now. I'll be off for a moment until Frank dials back up here and makes. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to disconnect. I'm going to disconnect from the phone call with you, and Frank will reconnect with me.
Very good.
Okay, bye.
I don't know how he was able to do that because I actually connect. Oh, okay. He did have to answer the phone. Anyway, let's go on. And sorry for the confusion, folks, and for this conversation between the three of us, but let's continue. And again, crude oil was down 1.86 at 73.92. The paper markets.
Okay, I believe I'm back on. I don't hear Melody talking right now. So I don't know if I am connected or I'm not connected. Melody, do you know whether I'm connected or not connected? How about you, Frank? Do you know? Somebody ought to give me a hint. Okay, Frank says I am connected, but I don't hear Melody talking. What we have here is failure to communicate, but I think Melody's on.
Yes, I am.
Same route.
Was I off the whole time?
No, I don't know. I was off for sure. I assume you were off.
Well, let's just keep going.
I can't tell
let's
whether you're
going.
On or off. I just know whether I am. Maybe. Sometimes I know.
Well, I'll repeat the numbers here a little bit later on in the program. But they did come out with the U.S. economy today grew at a faster pace in the third quarter, faster than originally reported. And of course, for the people in mainstream and Wall Street and Washington, it's another sign that the recovery is picking up. The GDP, and of course, this is the broadest measure of the country's economic health. It was revised up to 3.9% in the third quarter. Both consumer spending and business investment showed strength. The combined growth in the second and third quarters represented the best 6 months for the economy since 2003. And, they talk about other good signs that this is a great economy. And, of course, they're pumping everybody up for the, going into the holiday season, the unemployment rate.
Buy something.
Bye. Auto sales have been strong. Home prices have rebounded. And, of course, you have the stock market continues to hit records. But Americans, most of them are still worried about the economy and their personal economic outlook. And because, hey, people, we're still, a lot of these folks are still waiting to benefit from the economy. Disposable personal income was only up about 2.3%. And it was revised lower. So my question is, when you have an economy that's based on 2/3
consumer.
70% consumers, and their disposable income is down 2.3%, it's hard to believe that you have such a strong economy. However, a lot of it is the corporate profits accounted for more than 10% of the nation's GDP. And that was near the record high reached last year. So, again, you have a lot of distortions in these numbers that are released, and it doesn't really reflect what the consumer out there is feeling and their concerns about going forward. So even though the jobs, the numbers have dropped, but, you can easily, attack that to show that this economy is not as strong as what they predict and what they say.
Well, on the bright side, we're going to have at least an extra 5 million illegal aliens who will be able to get jobs in this country. And that will certainly stimulate things, especially if they're being paid less than minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
So all it means, what does it all mean? It means that you need to get ready to enjoy the holidays because, I don't know. You know, might as well enjoy the world as best you can, even though sometimes it's just flat out crazy.
Well, I mean, you need to prepare us what it tells us, and I'm not sure if we still have that caller from Texas online.
You know, that's true. I forgot all about it while we were trying to get our own signals uncrossed here. Let's see, from Frank, do we still have our caller, Frank?
Yes.
Frank is. He says yes.
There he is.
All right, fine. Somebody said yes.
Eduardo, yes. He's from Texas.
All right, sorry to hold you up. We've had some technical problems, as you could hear, plus gabbing problems, which you can hear. But now it's your turn.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving to both you, Al and Melody. I have a simple request. Before you and Al begin your daily tango of war between the sexes, would you please consider beginning your programs with the market report uninterrupted? Frequently, because you appear to be so hurried, Melody, you forget to give the closing quotes in a clear manner. Sometimes you even forget to give the closing quotes for crude oil. Please just slow down, have your facts together, and slowly give your report. Then you and Al can begin your quarrelsome commentary with Al and his breathless anecdotes.
Well, I'm not sure who got spanked more, Melody, whether it was you or me.
I don't know. It's stinging
usually
pretty
it's
bad.
Me. I'm the one who got it.
Hey, I'm a girl.
All right, we'll try to do better. This is one of those programs started out a little more peculiar than some of them, but we will try to do a better job on the market reports in the future.
And it continues.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, one last thing. Harry Dent says gold predicts gold $700 and $5 silver. What say y'all?
I say, Harry, I would be happy to pay you $800 for every ounce you're willing to sell me, and just think of it, you'll be able to make $100 off the deal if you think it's only worth $700. That's not a rash.
Is he just full of Thanksgiving dressing?
I don't know. You know, nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible, but that strikes me as improbable.
It would soon
bounce back up dramatically. I don't care if you knock gold down to $10 an ounce. All that means to me is more for me. That's all it means.
Absolutely.
Hey, go to Wikipedia and pull up Harry Dent and see how many times he's right on all his predictions. And then you can.
I did. And he's not. His percentage is not very good, Melody.
Yeah,
no, it isn't.
Right.
No, it isn't. So you answered your own question.
He was on the Alex Jones program.
Yeah.
He was on the Alex Jones program on the 18th.
You know what's funny? You can get more attention by making these really big calls, and when you make calls like that, you have people who listen because they're always looking for the shock factor, and that's what he gives is a shock factor. And there's nothing wrong with shock factor, and there's nothing wrong with him making money off that shock factor. But hey, let's be honest and call it what it is. So, you know, it is what it is. So, but do I think
he's no gold guru?
Well, he's got the bearded lady back there, and you can if you'll pay 25 cents, you can go see the bearded lady, and you know he just run the carnival to some extent.
Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yep.
All right, Melody, we are down to about 45 seconds before we take.
I get in trouble when I don't talk. I get in trouble when I do talk.
Yeah, it's just part of life.
I'm a girl.
Uh-huh. That's not a good enough excuse. You know. When we get back, what do you suppose we should talk about next?
I got to give the oil price again.
All right. Give the oil price. You want to give it now or you want to give it when we return?
When we return.
All right. Then let's take our break now, about 8 seconds early. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and we are taking our break commercial now. Right back, stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Especially the Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold piece for $755. Includes your shipping costs. We're just going to run this through the end of the week. I haven't decided exactly the hours we will keep during this holiday. Certainly will be closed Thursday, but several of my suppliers are actually closing a little early Wednesday afternoon, both Thursday and Friday. So we haven't yet decided our hours, so we'll keep this simple. You can call any time, leave a message, and we'll get you locked in on Mint State. If we're not here, you can get us locked in. You can get locked in on Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold piece, $755. That includes shipping, and these are great buys. The premiums are low on them. In 2009, premiums reached almost 100% from their melt. Today, they're only 23% from their melt. So it's a great buying opportunity to buy low, sell high. Mint State 62, $10 Liberty gold piece, PCGS or NGC. And you most likely will get a lot of mixed states for the Liberty gold piece. But you have to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And Al, we're going to talk a little bit about the petrodollar. And we had crude oil today down about $1.90 at 73.80, 73.80. And it's tomorrow, Thursday is the big Saudi OPEC. I said Thursday.
Okay.
Well, I meant tomorrow, but then I meant when Thursday is OPEC meeting. And
so okay, just, and people are speculating whether or not OPEC will cut supply. All right, whether they will impose some restrictions. There's some speculation that they will make. They'll reduce production by 500,000 to maybe 1 million barrels a day. Not enough to make a big difference, but it kind of throws a bone to people who want a cut in oil production. And apparently the Saudis are not really inclined. They're going to go through this war with American fracking interests, and they are going to see if the frackers, if they can drive the frackers out of business by simply reducing the price of oil below the point where frackers can profit. We've got, and this plays into a question we've had and we've considered without getting a real good answer yet. What are they really up to with the fall of, with the almost incredible fall in the price of crude oil? Got a couple articles. Here's the first one is it deals with the, well, just an introduction before we get to the article. The U.S. overturned the Ukraine government about a year ago now. I don't know, it might have been first quarter of this year, but I think it was fourth quarter of last year. U.S. overturned the duly elected Ukrainian government because that government wanted closer relationships with Russia. The United States got in and overturned. And then it blew up in their face because the Crimea just broke loose and said, we're not going to be part of Ukraine. We're going back to Russia. And eastern Ukraine wants to be part of Russia. And the net result is that, well, let me see. The civil war ensued within the Ukraine. And through it all, the Obama administration attempted to impose sanctions on Russian plutocrats as punishment for meddling in Ukrainian affairs. And it was silly. Obama's sanctions at the beginning of this problem, 6 months or more ago, they were just trivial. He was restricting some. They were imposing sanctions. Were super rich in Russia. Some of them, good friends of Putin, they couldn't travel. They couldn't bank here, there, or wherever. Again, those sanctions initially seemed laughable and impotent. But today, 6-8 months after the U.S. sanctions began, the real sanctions are not trumpeted. They're not saying, oh, here's what we're doing to the Russians right now. But those sanctions appear to be having an enormous adverse effect on Russia. Here's an article from the BBC, and the headline is Oil Price Slide and Sanctions Cost Russia $140 Billion. According to Russian Minister of Finance, the falling oil price is costing Russia up to $100 billion a year, while Western sanctions have hit the country by $40 billion. So, first point is we really are slapping Russia around right now. That's one point. Reports on Monday suggested Russia could cut oil production by about 300,000 barrels a day in an attempt to support oil prices. Now, if they're going to cut their production, and if they can support the oil price, what are they going to do? They're going to inflate the dollar. If they can support the oil price, they're going to inflate the dollar. But as the price is falling, it means you can buy more crude oil with less dollars. And that's evidence of deflation. Vladimir Putin has said that Russia could suffer catastrophic consequences from sanctions, the falling oil price, and the sliding ruble, while claiming they would have a knock-on effect on other countries. The modern world is interdependent. It's far from guaranteed that sanctions, the steep fall in oil prices, and the loss of value of the national currency. They're talking about the Russian ruble. The loss of value in the national currency. The ruble is experiencing some inflation right now. That's what's happening. They are losing value. They're getting inflation. We're getting deflation. All right? And I've advanced the idea on this program a little bit for the last week or so, got it a couple of times, pointing out the teeter-totter relationship between the U.S. dollar and other currencies when we start measuring inflation and deflation. And when the dollar deflates and becomes more valuable, the correlative currencies on the other end of the teeter-totter, dollar becomes more valuable, those currencies, relatively speaking, inflate and become less valuable. Well, the point I'm trying to get to here is that there's reason to at least suspect that by driving the price of crude oil down, we're not just sanctioning Russia in the sense that we're affecting their profits from selling their crude oil. We're also indirectly and implicitly sanctioning Russia because our currency becomes more valuable and theirs becomes less valuable. That's the implication, at least in the teeter-totter relationship on this. This is a possibility, to my mind, a probability, not necessarily happening, but I think it is. Here's another article from AFP. Saudis set sight on U.S. shale at crucial OPEC meeting. OPEC's biggest crude oil producer, Saudi Arabia, will have its sights set on upstart U.S. shale oil business at a critical cartel meeting that'll be this Thursday to debate possible output cuts. Analysts say the kingdom, meaning Saudi Arabia, is content to see shale oil producers and even some members of the OPEC cartel suffer from low prices and will resist pressure, all right, to reduce output and shore up the crust of oil. Now, they're going to just keep producing as they have. And in doing so, they will push the price of oil down. Now, here's the problem. Iraq says this is not acceptable. Russia certainly isn't going to like this. Saudi Arabia wants to try to knock out shale oil competitors from the market, said one economist. They have the fiscal strength to remain steadfast for 2 or 3 years. Now, I don't believe that. All right? I don't believe they're going to continue to push prices down for 2 or 3 years. I think whatever is going to be done is going to be accomplished within the next quarter or two. That'd be my guess. But who knows? They claim the Saudis can push prices down for 2 or 3 years. They say oil prices have collapsed to 4-year lows on factors including dampening demand in a sluggish world economy. Demand is down. A sharp rise in the output from shale oil, mainly here in the United States, that increases supply, and a strong dollar. Strong dollar is deflated. Strong dollar is becoming more valuable. Strong dollar, it takes less dollars to buy crude oil. Now, I'm looking at that and I'm wondering, as the dollar deflates and becomes more valuable, the other fiat currencies become relatively less valuable. They will purchase relatively less crude oil. This means that foreigners will prefer to use fiat dollars to purchase crude oil on the international markets. You get more oil for the buck. That's what it comes down to in a period of deflation. That preference will tend to support and sustain the dollar's role as the petrodollar and world reserve currency. Now, this to me is an important, at least, hypothesis. As the price of oil falls, as denominated in dollars, the dollar becomes more valuable. That means people want it more. That means we've watched the dollar losing value. It's become, for a while, it was kind of shunned. It looked like it was hitting the skids. That's not happening right now. And we are left to wonder, is this an accident or is this the intent? So long as U.S. dollar hangs on to the status of petrodollar and world reserve currency, it will retain its appearance of value and avoid a currency collapse. From this perspective, it appears that the powers that be may be more interested in protecting the fiat dollar's status as world petrocurrency than stimulating the U.S. economy. If we have inflation, virtually everyone agrees, it doesn't mean they're right, but if we have inflation and the dollar loses value, allegedly most economists believe that will stimulate the economy and people will go out and spend more, and then we'll have more jobs and we'll have more profits and more taxes and everything will be hunky-dory if we can inflate the currency. Well, that might be true, but the currency itself loses value, and people begin to look at it and say, I don't know if I want that currency anymore. On the other hand, if we can manage to push the price of things like crude oil down, the dollar appears to gain value. And when it does, people say, wait, I'd like some of those. They look like they're gaining value to me. I'd like some of those dollars. And it resists what has seemed like an inevitable collapse for the fiat dollar. I don't mean that it's not going to collapse. I don't doubt for a minute it's going to. But the point I'm trying to get to is the possibility that the reason the price of crude oil is going down is to shore up the dollar's position as world petrocurrency. Now, did I make that halfway clear, Melody? And if so, do you agree or disagree?
Well, no, I said something similar yesterday, not so much to the shoring up using the dollar, but I mentioned it was a forcing other countries to use the dollar to entice them into keeping the dollar to buy the oil. So you said it differently, but I agree. I think it could very much be all about the dollar. We know there's been a lot of pressure on the dollar from various countries. They're using other items in order to purchase oil. So what's one way to counteract that? And that is to push them into using the dollar. And I think you're, I think it's spot on. I think that's what they're protecting. That's the only thing that
makes
sense.
And the point is, they're more interested in if the hypothesis is valid. It indicates that the powers that be are more interested in protecting the fiat dollar than they are in protecting the U.S. economy. That's the implication. They're willing to write off inflation, which in theory would stimulate the economy, and opt for deflation, which will help the fiat petroleum, the petrodollar, to last a little longer. It's just interesting to me, and it's a plausible hypothesis, not necessarily the truth.
And, some of these countries might not even realize, what is going on. I mean, everybody is pointing to Russia. Everybody's pointing to this and that. And, they all kind of make a little bit of sense. But when you really look to what motivates these central banks, I mean, it is the currency. It is the U.S. dollar. And that is the most important thing to them. You don't mess with it. And if it is losing that status, even though slowly, they had to, gather. And it just goes to show how desperate the system is.
Well,
one
of the things I've also noticed.
How fragile the system is.
One of the other things I've noticed here, and maybe I talked about it yesterday, I don't remember, but the idea that Japan is going to print a bunch of yen in order to try to inflate their way out of their economic stagnation. At the same time, the European Union is going to try to print a bunch of euros in order to inflate their way out of their current economic stagnation. Now, we've done that under quantitative easing up until the last 6-8 months, and they backed off now. They're not pushing, they're not printing all that many dollars anymore, and we are perhaps sliding into deflation. What was my point? Yeah, it's escaped me. I started off on it, now it's escaped me. I'll have to save it for another time. What was I going to say, Melody?
Well, actually, you were going to say that we're going to be heading into a break real soon.
That's it. That's it. That's what I was going to say. And I knew I was going to say something important, but you see, that's why I have two hosts on the program.
Maybe we'll get a call about that.
Well, we might. We may get some email about it, too.
What's wrong with your memory, Al?
I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things. When I was younger, it didn't bother me. If you couldn't think of things, you said, what's his face? Who's this? You know what I'm talking about. It doesn't bother you when you're young. When you get older, then you start paying attention and say, oh, there's a problem here. I think maybe we're just more sensitive to the problem as we get older, but probably not, but I like to think that's true. Take a break for some commercials. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I believe we have a caller, David from Michigan.
Hello, David.
Hi. Hi, Al. Hi, Melody. How are you? Have a good holiday.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep. In regards to Harry Dent, you know, if you can drive the price of gold down so you can buy it at a cheaper price, why not do that even if they got a goofy reputation and people don't know it? Mm-hmm. So that's probably his M.O.
He's a paper trader, I believe.
Yeah, see, and you remember when you and I looked at where the price of mining gold was like $1,200, and I don't know how you would even keep a mine open if you had to sell it for $7. Why would you even mine it at $1,200, you know? For a cost of production. So that's all BS. Just channel surfing the other day, I got to surf through about six PBS stations, and they said that the quantitative easing was going to continue on the QT. So their right to legally steal money that we're responsible for will continue. I don't know if anybody had mentioned that. And I got to say, the first caller... Sometimes, Melody, when you get down to the Dow, the NAS, and the S&P, you do go pretty quick. I've got a notebook here.
What is this, beat up on Melody Day?
This is what Thanksgiving is all about.
Maxima copa, you know, but...
Yeah, this is supposed to be Thanksgiving. It's supposed to be, well, gee, we thank you.
Well, yeah, we do, but I keep track every day at a ledger, and I don't need a PC. I can tell you 10 years back that day what gold or silver or whatever it was going for. It's just an old habit, and so I still do it, and sometimes I'm too lazy to turn my computer on. So, just, you know, he did have a point there, but no big deal. But I thought I'd repeat it.
Anything else?
You know, nobody's talking about Ferguson. You know, the police...
We're going to...
The police last night did a real fine job of protecting a police department down by the Season's Greeting sign. And Illich lost a Little Caesars, and a lumberyard went up, and people were stealing the wigs. And, you know, I think what they ought to do is if you get caught, rather than $43,000 to put you in jail, take you and your whole family off of welfare for 1 to 5 years. So that, you know, you're not going to go to the prison where we got to pay for it, but your family's going to suffer. And I think that's because if these people had to get up at 6 in the morning to go to work, they wouldn't have been out there running around. And so I would tend to think most of those people are just sucking down on the system. And they were just having
a
field day.
It's kind of like an athletic event. It's, oh boy, we get to loot. You know, there's some people that are genuinely concerned and some people that are sincere in their concern, but there's a lot of other people that are just say, oh boy, we have an excuse to bust some windows and steal some stuff.
Yeah, and the people didn't learn from the L.A. riots where that Korean guy was out in front protecting the store, and
yep.
And it was funny that, what's his name, the actor, Charlton Heston, people, all these actors are calling him up, hey, Chuck, you got a spare gun? And, you know, the police chief said, get a gun and arm yourself. Why they didn't watch their own stories last night, I don't know. But I think
you know,
that was
it's an interesting question. And, in fact, it's something I was going to talk about. I got an article from conservativebite.com. They're talking about the problem in Ferguson. And it said there were more than 80 arrests made in the St. Louis area overnight as protesters fired more than 100 gunshots, burned and looted as many as 25 buildings, and vandalized police cars in Ferguson, Missouri, after the grand jury came, you know, did not indict the police officer. My point is, didn't anyone foresee that there might be some sort of trouble if the grand jury didn't indict the police officer? Right? This isn't new.
Well, the one official said there was going to be problems either way. So,
well, it might be, but what I'm getting to is this. You know, why didn't they just put enough people on the streets to make sure this trouble was going to be squelched as soon as it started? How is it that there weren't enough cops and or National Guard on hand to prevent violent demonstrations? Did someone in authority decide to just let the blacks get it out of their system by setting fires and looting? What's happened
here? Well, I hear that the National Guard was held back. And the problem is, like I said before, like with Detroit, these people will suffer, not just the people that run in the streets. They never suffer anyway. They'll go somewhere else where they can suck down on the system. But the people that live there are going to pay higher insurance rates.
That's right.
Village may not open up as Little Caesars again. These stores may not reopen. And it's bad for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're going to be walking or driving or whatever, looking for their pizza, you know, an extra 5 miles away from where they used to get it because it's not going to be there anymore.
Let me ask you a question now. If they had come down with a bigger hand, a heavier hand, what would have been the response? Oh, they came down with the too big a hand. They used too much force to stop these people.
It's one of these.
If you stop them before they do anything, then they wouldn't have done anything, and it was too much heavy force and so forth. So,
you're darned if you do and darned if you don't. That's what it comes down to. I think this is a peculiar situation because, on the one hand, you're living in circumstances where the community is predominantly black, but it's run by the minority of whites. That creates, particularly relative to the police department. All right, there's just stress there in that context where people are pissed, they're angry, and maybe with cause. Unfortunately, in that context, in the context of the community bias that's in there, blacks may have a legitimate gripe, but they chose to exercise their gripe or demonstrate their gripe under circumstances with a black teenager who was not clearly an innocent victim. Right?
Well, Al, let me say this, is that the black community, the average black person, probably that has it on the ball, doesn't want to work for a police department because they've always had this thing about the cops, okay? Just like in City Detroit, they got a heavy, it's 85% black, but every time they show school teachers, they're white because 75% of all black college grads work for the government. Now, when you can sit at a desk and look at a telephone in 25 years, retire with a super pension, why would you want to be a school teacher?
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people that do government jobs for their retirements and so forth. I mean,
but then on the other hand, I've noticed that when you watch some of these police acting, they act like they're in Fallujah because that's where they came from. And they're kicking in doors and what have you, and they're hiring that type of personality where it's not the friendly police officer you could walk up to and ask for directions anymore, you know. So right away they're asking for ID. What are you doing, trying to start trouble? You know, that type of thing. So it's a double-edged sword. But
everything is just unstable right now, and there's not – what do you do other than try to stay out of the way?
No, you gotta get involved. You gotta try to communicate. And like I say, you know, if you told those families that, hey, you know, Uncle Joe is out there rioting, and guess what? 5 years now, you're not gonna get any assistance. Have a good time. Go get a job at Walmart. You're not gonna get the check in the mail. They might think twice if there's some real family repercussions on this.
I'm gonna tell you
what your kid is.
Well,
I
get what you're saying.
Yeah, well, what time did all this happen? I mean, they didn't know where their child was at and when he was taking cigars. And, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, here you have this whole situation all based on, you know, a few cigars.
Well, look at what Martin and this fellow here, they showed her age 12.
All you cigar smokers. That's the problem, Melody.
Most of these guys from Florida and from Ferguson here, they show the 12-year-old baby pictures, okay? Show this guy, I sent it to Melody, where he's got a stainless 45 pointed at the camera, a wad of $100 bills in his mouth, and the other hand's on a bottle of vodka. Now, that's the poster child. They should have showed him how he really was.
Same
with the guy from Florida that could have been Obama's kid. Don't show the 12-year-old photo. Show him where he's got the tattoos all over his face, and he looks like Tyson.
I understand. And you see this, and what's disturbing about it, I don't mind so much if I see it once, but I'd like to see some balance on it where some people come out and say, look, here's the truth of the matter. But at least within the mainstream media, that is not necessarily common. The bias is there, and you wonder, why won't somebody deal with the truth?
And you know what? It's true. I mean, we look at, I think there's been a couple of TV hosts that got in trouble because they talk about black families. There's no fathers, and it shows, you know, the outcome of the children because they don't have a father figure. And when you look at this boy, you know, his mother remarried, what Frank says is a two-time felon. And I even saw that after the announcement was made last night, I saw pictures today where he ended up, after the mother cried and so forth, and he consoled her, he started jumping up and down and saying, burn this place down.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
It's like...
And do you think anyone's going to prosecute him for that?
Him for doing that?
Yeah.
No.
I don't either.
Well,
and
he
did what he could to get those fires started. All right? He at least inspired people to get those fires started. And I saw the same video. He had to burn this place. He must have said it half a dozen times, and not casually. He was shouting. He was calling for people to burn this place down.
Well last night, just
this is like me going into the theater and shouting fire.
Last night, just as Obama said, tipping cars over, there goes the first police car. They're tipping it over. And it just was like right on cue.
You know, it was interesting and amusing to me to listen to Obama say, this is a country built on laws. Did you catch him doing that?
Yes.
Yeah,
and I was wondering if he meant laws like the immigration laws. Were those the kind of laws he meant?
He's a constitutional lawyer. He stepped all over the Constitution. So did Bush.
I understand.
You know, there is no more Constitution.
Well, yeah, it's there. The Constitution's there if the people say it's there. You can't get rid of it, per se. It's there. If the American people say the Constitution is there and it means what it says, then it's there and it means what it says, if enough of us stand up and simply insist on it. On the other hand, if the government can get away with it and we're willing to go along with it, just say, forget it. We don't need it.
And you know what?
Just like this quantitative easing, we're allowing the banks to steal money again that you and I are responsible for. Mm-hmm. One day they might collect their homes and everything, saying it's for the national debt. Well, where did that money go?
Well, it didn't come here. I don't have it. I can tell you that.
No.
And it really does kind of make you wonder. We had Murray write in. He says, you know, why was that verdict? Why wasn't it announced this morning? Instead, they did it at night. And
thought it was cold enough where people wouldn't riot or something in the dark. That's one thing. Thank God they didn't announce it in July or August.
Right.
Since real fires and some real demonstrations, but right now it's a little too cold.
All righty, Dave. Well, anything else?
We're not gonna solve this tonight.
I'm gonna solve it. Dave, but they won't pay attention to me.
Al, I'm thinking of moving to Texas for the wintertime because we've already had 9 degrees here in Michigan, and I can't handle that no more.
Well, I won't see 9 degrees down here. It's probably 70 out here today right now.
Yep.
All righty, okay. Dave. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're down to our last couple of minutes here, Melody. Got something you'd like to...
No, you know, this Ferguson, it's just a sign of what is really happening. I mean, this country is so divided, not just in this, but in so many things. And it shows the direction that we're headed. And it's not a good – I mean, I don't know if we're headed there or if we're already there.
We got into this direction by telling lies.
Yes.
We got into this direction. I mean, this is difficult stuff to get into. And I'm not even going to go any further with that because we've only got a minute and a half. And we can't, it's a complex issue, but just because it's complex doesn't mean that it can't be discussed. And just because it is unpleasant doesn't mean that it can't be discussed honestly. And nobody's doing that, or very few people are doing it. We hold this mess together in order to maintain a certain level of lies. For example, the idea that people that are black are entitled to special privileges because they're black. That we're going to eliminate racism by having affirmative action. That racism is wrong to discriminate against blacks, but it's okay to discriminate against whites. And say we're going to hold you accountable for paying money to black people because why? Because you own slaves? No. Because you oppress people? No. Because you're white. That's why. We aren't going to get away from racism by playing a game of affirmative action.
Yeah, but
sooner or later, somebody's going to have to just sit back and say, look, each of us are entitled to whatever we can earn. We're not entitled to a nickel more. And when the Congress comes out and says, oh, we've got entitlement programs, you're entitled, they are creating lies. And when you embrace those lies, you believe them long enough, inevitably they lead you to places that no one wants to go. We're out of time for today. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Thank you all for listening. Hope you have a good holiday. If we don't talk to you or you don't hear us in the next day or two, still I hope you have a happy holiday, happy Thanksgiving, and we will talk to you shortly. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. And good Lord bless you, meet Melody. Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams.